We think about this. This is where sports comes into play here, is responsible celebration. And you see places like Philadelphia where they climb,
they destroy their own city after winning a Super Bowl.
Right, you know, you're going to light things on fire and riot or climb the light poles or break things. And you don't want to do turn over cars. The responsible way to celebrate is and can be with fireworks. And there are some fireworks, I think, from the Magic Johnson camp, right, when he was giving himself one more year to succeed. But he's finally bought himself maybe a little bit of time, as well as one of the more expensive and talented players of all time with LeBron James. Kevin, your thoughts on this? What does this do to the, because it's almost like rent a place in the finals, right? I mean, it really pays dividends when you have LeBron.
Yeah, well, it completely changes the outlook of the entire league, because for a while it was just Golden State in the West, and then LeBron James owned the East, whether he's with Cleveland or the Miami Heat. Casey Johnson from the Tribune had a good piece about, you know, the nightmares that Bulls fans are still having because the Bulls couldn't get past LeBron in the postseason. Remember those years with Tibbs and Derrick Rose and no one? Those were really good Bulls teams, but they weren't good enough to get past LeBron. And look, this city knows all about that. Michael Jordan was, for a decade, if you wanted to win anything, you had to try to get past him, and nobody could in the 90s. So Bulls fans understand that aspect. But basically, wherever LeBron went in the East, and you could pretty much put LeBron right now on any team in the Eastern Conference, and he's probably going, at minimum, he's going to the Eastern Conference semifinals, right, or the Eastern Conference finals, I should say. He's probably going to the NBA finals. Now he moves to the West, where Golden State is and Houston Rockets are. The three best teams in all of basketball right now are the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Rockets. I don't care what the rest of the Lakers roster looks like. They're already one of the top three teams in the NBA, in my opinion. Some might make an argument for Boston. Philly's an ascending team as well, but I think it actually makes the league a little juicier. I think it's a little more interesting. It sort of feels like, to me, and I say this in all sports, really, it's like in baseball. It's good for baseball when the Cubs are good, or the Yankees are good, or the Red Sox are good. In the NBA, it's good if the Bulls are good or if the Lakers are good. Those are iconic international brands. That's right. Good for basketball. And I think this is probably LeBron's final stop in his career.
He's in one of those places that you can have really, I think, a great lifestyle. Certainly they've got,
embed yourself into the celebrity style and cement your legacy there. He's going to know everyone. He's already, of course, an international star, but LA is a whole different story. I mean, it's the celebrity capital of the world.
It seems like a fit for him. And you mentioned like his impact, where he can almost single-handedly just propel that team into relevance. Is this where we're going to see is it going to be the yearly like Golden State LeBron matchup? It's just going to happen in the conference finals now?
Well, you know, don't count out Houston. Remember, Houston went seven games with Golden State this past postseason. That's a really good team. And some people had speculated that LeBron was going to go there, because if you put him with James Harden and Chris Paul on that roster, they probably do beat Golden State in the West. But, you know, I think those three teams, and I think, you know, everybody, and the Rockets said this last year, and I think it actually is good for the NBA when you do have a team like the Warriors. I know that sounds crazy. I mean, for the past couple of years, it sort of turned me off from the league a little bit, because I basically knew who was going to win the championship. But this sort of feels a little different now with LeBron and with the Lakers. That's a iconic franchise. And then there's going to be some juicy matchups all season between Golden State, LA, and Houston. And the East now has become a lot more interesting, because teams like Boston and Philly, and certainly the Bulls, in just a year or two, when they're an ascending team, the East is wide open, and that's like a blank canvas right there. We're going to see where the East develops into over the next couple of years.
You mentioned that it's kind of turned you off from like just that whole repetitive nature of these matchups happening again and again, and I kind of fall into that same camp. So it's nice to see some other teams have a chance and get in there. But here's the debate that really has kind of raged as LeBron has, you know, as you look at the statistics, and as he passes one milestone after another, and as he puts his team in the finals, whether he wins or he loses, I think that's kind of where we come down. But it's that whole greatest of all time conversation. Yeah. You get people who didn't experience, a little younger, didn't experience the whole Jordan years, right?
I wish the sports media would debate more who's better, LeBron or MJ, because you just don't get that in the media these days, Dane. It's just never ending. It's like, whatever. It's impossible to compare the two. They're both incredible in their own right. I would say Michael Jordan's the best winner of all time, because he's 6-0 in the finals. He's never going to be able to deny that. LeBron James is an athletic specimen like we've never seen. He's more athletically gifted than Michael Jordan. That's not a knock on Jordan. I mean, it's genes. It's science. What LeBron James is, a moving freight train. He's unlike any player we've seen and probably will see in the NBA. So they're both great. They're the two best players of all time. whatever I say here is not going to change anybody's opinion anyways. It's going to be, you're either in the Jordan camp or the LeBron camp. Nothing is going to change that for anybody.
And I think you can make a case regardless of where you come down on it. And so this is where the Kevin Powell acumen comes into effect, is I think what you look at is you can only play the people in front of you, right?
Exactly.
And so,
yeah, these are hypotheticals. When you're trying to match them up, they're hypotheticals that we'll never know for sure. So it's an endless debate, and that's why it's perfect for the 24-hour sports media cycle.
Do you feel the competition is different, right? Do you feel that there's... Or do you think that just like everything
you mean
else...
individual talent-wise throughout the league, are there better players? Is that what you mean?
Well, were the teams that...
I think the style of the NBA is just so much different now. It's such absolutely. A fast-paced game. I'm a Jordan junkie, a Bulls junkie. I'll go back and watch full NBA Finals games like in 98. And it's just such a different style of basketball. It's pretty wild, where now it's just run and gun and shoot the three. That's the NBA right now, for better or for worse.
We had a caller text in from, that would make them a texter, 708, about how about the outrageous salary he's going to be getting. I would say, unlike, you know, you look at a Yu Darvish or any of those other kind of things that are gambles out there in the sports world, LeBron James is like the most guaranteed, you're going to get your money
four
back.
4 years, $154 million, and it's more than almost wins and losses. It's almost a marketing move as well for the Lakers. You just enhanced your brand.
Doesn't it put them right? It puts them back in that whole
in
kind
the
of
NBA
showtime.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, they're going to be competing for championships now. We haven't seen that since, you know, the backstretch of Kobe's career. It's kind of been this dead period in L.A., so LeBron's going to completely revitalize the Lakers.
Okay. All right, so as you're going to sit there and watch some of the old reruns of those Bulls championships on the 4th of July, of course, because you're going to have
to do it. Yes, that's all I'll be doing.
And Kevin, you're, as we all know, a noted foodie as well. People want to know. We know that you're going to be participating in the fireworks world responsibly at all times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, what are you going to be grilling? What does Kevin Powell eat? What does he do food-wise on 4th of July?
Well, I was just scrolling through the Jewel Osco flyer, the weekly ad, and they've got some pretty incredible deals on some bone-in T-bone steaks as well as New York strip steaks, and I haven't had a bone in a while. I've done a lot of ribeye, mixed in a filet last week, and I just need a good hearty steak with the bone in. I'm going bone in this week for the 4th, Dane.
Meats can be no-brainers. The sides, I think, really can set things off
sides
as well.
Sides, for me, I go very traditional. You're going beans, potato salad, all those sorts of things that you would expect on an American 4th of July holiday. In my current holiday power rankings, by the way, 4th of July is right there, near the top.
Nice.
Right there with Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Really, right up there, huh?
It's right up there.
Well, you're a patriot.
I'm a patriot, and I like to eat, and I like fireworks.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for jumping in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
I'm out. Pete's in.
Thanks a lot.
We're calling it Pete from the bullpen. I'm out.